Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fourth day of January 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Hear about an organization called Farm Illinois that is chaired by the immediate past president of the University of Illinois, Bob Easter. Lee Strom will be here to take us through the innovation and agriculture hub that the organization hopes to create in Chicago and around the state for the whole of the planet. As we close out our half hour together, we'll look at the weather forecast with the guys at Risk Pulse. And we'll always talk on Mondays with the folks out at the Andersons about the cash grain market on this edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking the numbers in Chicago, March contract for the corn pit was down 7 1/4. It settled at $3.51 1/2 this afternoon. May futures at $3.57 1/2, down 7. And July, 6 3/4 lower at $3.63 3/4. December corn at $3.77, down 6 cents. Soy complex, January bean, 6 3/4 lower at $8.64 1/2. The March at $8.56, down 8 1/4. And the May down 8 3/4 at $8.60 3/4. July off 9. August off 9. September 9 1/2 lower. November beans of next year down a dime at $8.70. Bean meal off $1.10 at $2.63.20, and the bean oil down as well, $29.93. The settlement price 62 cents lower. March winter wheat for the soft red down 11 3/4 at $4.58 1/4. July at $4.72 1/4, 11 cents lower. The hard red July at $4.75, down 13 3/4. Live cattle futures finished the February at $136.27 1/2. 52 1/2 cents lower in the February, April at 137.37 1/2, down 60 cents, and January feeder cattle up 90 cents today at $167.80. The March at 164.62 1/2, 97 1/2 higher. And lean hogs, February contract down 30 at 59.50. And the April futures 55 cents lower at $65.40. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. You may find our programming online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming not long after it airs on most of our radio stations, and sometimes even before. So that's the case with Commodity Week that comes up at about 6 o'clock on Thursday evening.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Checking some of the outside markets, crude oil now trading the February at $36.74 a barrel, down 30 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.34 9 cents, a 5 1/10 cent lower. And the gasoline on wholesale price is at $1.29 2 cents. That's up 2 1/10 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.13 6 1/10 cents higher. And the natural gas for the day at $2.34 is about 0.5 cents lower on the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average 409 points lower at 16,933. The U.S. dollar at 98.97, up 0.22. And the gold futures for the afternoon are currently trading at $1,074.25. They're up $14 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 33 on a north wind at 6 to 9. That'll stay clear through the evening. A low of 19 degrees tonight. Northwest winds at 6 miles an hour. They'll turn to the southeast after midnight, and then Tuesday sunny skies and a high of 33. South winds tomorrow at 7 to 13, gusting to 17. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 23 on a south wind at 7 to 9. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 39 degrees, south winds at 9 to 14. Wednesday night, cloudy with a low of 30. Thursday, a 40% chance of rainfall. Cloudy and a high of 41. Thursday night, rain likely and 36. Friday, rain likely and 46. Friday night, more rain and a low of 36. We'll start to clear out on Friday evening into Saturday, when we'll have cloudy skies and a high of 41 degrees.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. It is the 4th day of January. Kurt Kimmel now joins us from Bates Commodities out of Normal to talk about a marketplace that nosedived on one of the first trading days of the year. It's actually the second trading day of the year, I believe. So not a really good start for the 2016 calendar.
No, but the only positive thing we saw, I guess, not related to corn and beans in general, but it was National Spaghetti Day, and Noodles and Company, it posted, going into midday here, a chart, well, basically a key price reversal to the upside. So there's one company is higher for 2016, while everything else is down. I just hope that's not a sign that we're all going to be eating spaghetti here down the road. But funds jumped on the sell wagon here going into midday. The funds were sellers of 10,000 wheat, 16,000 corn, 8,000 contracts of beans, and over 8,000 contracts of soybean oil. You know, they've been short. I think they've might have added to the short position just due to, you know, the technical indicators are kind of sloppy in through here. And fundamentally, just not a whole lot of positive news. You know, concerns about China, you know, too much world supply, you know, South American weather seems, you know, a little bit favorable. You know, like you visited earlier there, 43% of the bean crop in Mato Grosso areas, poor to very poor, but with a little bit of moisture in the forecast, it might have taken the edge off that a little bit. But, two, we're still dealing with the after effect of the Argentina gaining more market share as we move down the road. Then just failure to see any real bullish commodity impact from the Saudi-Iranian situation. So it's kind of a rough going through here. Hopefully we won't have a follow-through trade here on Tuesday and get some type of stability because corn basically has reached this longer-term objective they've talked about. March corn had a low of 350. They talked about 350 for some time. The March beans were close to this 850 area, hopefully giving Asia a reason to come back to the U.S. to be a little bit of a buyer of our products.
Really, fundamentals didn't change very much over the last 2 weeks. Doesn't appear that things have changed all that much since we really last talked. I think that would have been in mid-December when I really talked with anybody too much. So turn around Tuesday and maybe we're down at the bottom end of this thing?
Well, temporary. I don't see a huge up. There's just an awful lot of cash grain to be sold in through here. The market knows that. Producers sort of tightly holding. You know, here, the first business day, there was quite a bit of grain move, quite a bit of truck traffic in some areas. The idea is maybe see what the January report says next week, and if we don't get some positive news or some positive reaction following the report, we could probably see this cash grain pick up a little bit of momentum. I don't say there's a tsunami of grain to move all at once, but you know, it's probably just going to keep a lid on things as we go through the winter months here.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Very good, Todd.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Up next, a plan to make Illinois and the Chicago region into a leading global hub for food and agricultural innovation. We'll learn about Farm Illinois. Well, the farm part of Farm Illinois, it's an acronym. It stands for Food and Agriculture Roadmap. It's an organization chaired by the immediate past president of the University of Illinois, Bob Easter. The goal is to make Chicago and the rest of the state into a global hub for agricultural innovation by laying out strategic recommendations for how the food and agriculture system can improve health, contribute to the economy, create jobs, employ new technologies, preserve the environment, adapt to a changing climate, and help underserved communities. Leland Strom is the director of Farm Illinois. I asked him, why now?
Farm Illinois is a comprehensive and integrated plan to position Illinois and the greater Chicago region and really the entire state as the global food and agricultural hub for innovation well into the future. It was originally the concept of how we should look at agriculture and what we need to do was part of the Vision for Illinois Agriculture project that started back in 2008. Over the 5 years of the various meetings of that group, which was really agricultural industry representatives led by the Illinois Farm Bureau and at the time Philip Nelson, president of the Illinois Farm Bureau at that time, to look at what needed to be done to ensure that the agricultural sector could remain viable and be well-positioned going forward. At the conclusion of that, in the fall of 2013, at a meeting in Chicago, the leadership of the ag group that had been involved with Vision for Illinois Agriculture got together in a discussion with leadership out of the city of Chicago. And some of these major entities in Chicago, like the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, the Chicago Community Trust, World Business Chicago, the Chicago Chamber of Commerce, with the idea of what can we do together. And so what Farm Illinois is an outgrowth of that discussion. And really the first time you've had a cross-sector from farm to fork, from agricultural production to the food processing entities, to the transportation industry, to education and research, all at the table saying, what do we need to do to ensure that feeding 9.7 billion people, which is the projection at the year 2050, we are the place, this region of the world, Illinois, with its rich heritage, but its strong education system, and being here in Champaign, the University of Illinois, a global, world-class institution, what can we do to ensure that we are the leaders, where innovation occurs and where the science and technology is developed, not just in production, but how we feed and our population also?
It appears that Illinois has been a leader in this area for a long time. Part of that is because of the Prairie State itself, the assets it has, the lands, the soils, the abilities to move commodities out of the area via the infrastructure, the river system to begin with. And then Chicago played no small part in this with the CME group there, some of the larger companies headquartered there. I would guess, and I'm going to take a stab at this, one of the problems Chicago fears is that while the ADMs and the Tate and Lyles of the world are moving in, that the Mondelez and Crafts of the world may be looking at other places. So it's as much about keeping an infrastructure and a hub, as you say, for the food and agricultural sector all in one place.
You're right. When you list all those items that you listed or those areas that you mentioned, certainly Illinois has a rich heritage. You know, we're soon to celebrate our 200th year, our bicentennial in 2018. And you look back at the innovation that's occurred in the state. John Deere fashioned his plow, Cyrus McCormick, as you mentioned, the Board of Trade, the Chicago Union Stockyard. We have a rich heritage. But if we simply rest on our laurels of the past, we will miss opportunity going forward. Because, and I'll put it this way, while I was in Washington, our agency worked quite closely with the Department of Agriculture, and I had the opportunity as the head of our agency to sit down with the Secretary of Agriculture. And I was invited back here in July to a meeting in Washington, and I saw Secretary Vilsack, and we got to talking about this. He expressed an interest in Farm Illinois also in what we're doing here. And he put it in this way. He said, Lee, there will be as much innovation needed in the next 35 years to feed this growing world population as has occurred in the past 10,000 years. So if we are simply going to rest on our prior achievements, we will miss opportunity to lead the globe going forward. There's a lot of science and technology being developed, from big data on the farms to issues on how we grow better locally grown food. There's a lot of new technology that's coming into our state in some of these greenhouse operations. Up in Rochelle, Illinois, there's two new large greenhouses, one growing specifically tomatoes. So they'll be supplying 2% of all the fresh tomato needs in the city of Chicago. But the technology for that it comes from overseas. And some of the expertise comes from overseas. we should have the ability here in this state, with our rich education system and our ability to hopefully develop our workforce, to train them, to be the place where this innovation occurs. But this is also about areas, for instance, of resource management. How we adapt new cropping practices on farms that helps us to sustainably yet profitably grow the great crops that we do. You know, we're number one in soybeans. We're number two in corn production. We're number four in hog production. Now, sometimes they vary a little bit given on year-to-year droughts or whatever. But, you know, traditionally we're leaders in those. But we are also being challenged in that today, with the technology that's available and technology yet to come, the consumer is demanding more information, more knowledge about what they consume, where it's grown, how it's grown. You know, we can't fight that trend. We have to adapt to those trends. And being leaders in food and agriculture and the world-class ag system that we have in the state and a global gateway city like Chicago and some of the surrounding cities throughout the state, from Rockford down to Carbondale, we have the capability of being the places where this science is developed, the thought leadership occurs, and that's why Farm Illinois was put together.
Farm Illinois appears to be the pre-planning committee for a much more in-depth plan that starts with six strategic steps. The first part is to develop the Illinois Council for Food and Agriculture. What do you envision?
Well, as you mentioned, Farm Illinois was really the initial step. It took a year to develop the plan, which was released at the end of May. I have spent the summer going around the state in discussions on this. In early October, the Leadership Council of Farm Illinois met again, and the decision was made to now move forward and establish a permanent body. So this Illinois Council for Food and Agriculture, now that's the name that we are tentatively working with, but still subject to change. But that will be the permanent body to work on implementation of these recommendations that are within the plan. So establishing this body is our first goal right now. We have three working groups underway. One's a governance committee to help us ensure that we have the right structure and the right governance on this. We want to ensure that we have broad reach, broad representation, broad balance in this farm-to-fork food agricultural system. Again, from everything that affects it, education, transportation, resource management, environment, exports. We have strong balance and have a conduit for information to be supplied to this body. As you are probably aware, Bob Easter, president emeritus of the University of Illinois, has served as chair of this Farm Illinois group since its beginning a year ago. And we anticipate he will stay involved as the chair going forward of this permanent body. We also have Rich Giebert, president of the Illinois Farm Bureau. They've been heavily involved in this. He will likely be staying on as a vice chair, working alongside the other vice chair, Teresa Mintel, the president of the Chicago Chamber of Commerce. So when you are linking together entities that traditionally have not sat at the same table on the same platform, we believe good things will come. So we hope to launch this council after the first of the year, and then begin the very specific task of dealing on specific recommendations. We also have a current victory committee in place that is helping us sort through some of the very early strategic initiatives that we should pursue that we believe should be implemented quickly. And then we have a fundraising committee, because I want to stress to you, this is not a government agency. We are hopeful to keep this out of the public funding realm. We are getting good initial support from the private sector, from entities across the state, from large agribusinesses, from the agriculture community, but also interests out of Chicago. The original funding, I need to mention this, the bulk of the initial funding on this project a year and a half ago came out of the Chicago Community Trust, the Searle Family Foundation. They supplied a predominant share of the initial funding, but other entities, including those farm organizations in the state, corn growers, Illinois Farm Bureau, Ingredion, a whole host of other companies. An interesting one that gets kind of a puzzled look when I talk about it is United Airlines has been involved in this. And people say, why United? Well, they have a next-generation biofuels initiative to fuel their fleet of aircraft within the next couple of decades with renewable fuels. It's important to them what happens in this agricultural space. So we hope to link in non-traditional interests in this going forward on a permanent basis.
Tell me about some of the early initiatives that you believe will be victories.
We say Chicago a lot because there's been strong Chicago interest in what's going on in this food and ag space. But we've had strong interest around the state. So an area of initial early win, we hope, is the development of regional economic development zones in the state that focus on our rich opportunity across the state. When you look at Illinois from north to south, and I come up, I'm only 45 minutes south of the Wisconsin state line, we're somewhat of a different climate than the southern tip of the state. When we look at opportunities for growing additional products in the state, because, for instance, in Illinois, we only consume, of our fresh vegetables and fruits that we consume as Illinois residents, only 5% of them are raised in the state of Illinois. That's $2.5 billion economic engine there in that 5%. If we simply have a goal of doubling that, and let's say with the new technology out today, with greenhouse opportunities, with some of the new technologies that we can implement, we think we can expand and double that to 10%. Another $2.5 billion economic engine. And I think the southern portion of the state is prime opportunity for that in a regional economic development concept that links in the transportation capabilities to get those products more efficiently and cost-effectively to the markets.
Lee, thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Lee Strom is the director of Farm Illinois. You can find it online at farmillinois.org. It's an organization that's chaired by the immediate past president of the University of Illinois on the subject of specialty crops. I'll be at the Specialty Crops Conference, sponsored in part by U of I Extension. That's in Springfield this Wednesday at the Crown Plaza. I'm really looking forward to reporting on the updates from there. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market out now. Greg Johnson is here from the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's been kind of a bad day in Chicago. How'd things go there in your world?
Well, we had farmers picking up money for grain that they had previously sold today on the first day of the first business day of the year. So that was good, but I think almost every one of them wished they would have a higher percentage sold. So some good news and some bad news. The good news is they got some of it sold. The bad news, not enough.
Is there other good news that says, well, hopefully there's a bounce?
Well, we're making new contract lows, so you'd like to think maybe we're getting low enough, but you know, livestock feeding margins are negative to skinny. Ethanol margins are skinny. So it just doesn't appear as though the demand side of the equation is going to lift us out of the doldrums. These low prices are not stimulating enough demand, so it's probably going to take a supply problem, and unfortunately weather problems won't show up until later on in the spring and summer. So it looks like we at best maybe can just go sideways. You know, the best thing we could hope for maybe is just to stop going down.
And just very quickly, is it just because we have low crude oil prices?
That's a big part of it. The strong dollar is another part of it. The weak Chinese economy, the weak world economy is also part of it.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
It's National Spaghetti Day. Spaghetti pasta dates back at least to the 12th century in southern Italy. In the U.S., spaghetti appeared in a few restaurants around the end of the 1800s. By the way, there are about 600 different shapes of pasta. On this day in agricultural history in 1493, Columbus returned from his first voyage to the New World. Among the passengers, a number of kidnapped American Indians. In 1761, Stephen Hales died, an English botanist. He pioneered the quantitative experimental approach in plant and animal physiology. He demonstrated the importance of air and light in plant growth and the pressure roots exert on sap. In 1846, Edward Johnson was born, an American electrical engineer and inventor. He created the first electric lights on a Christmas tree in 1882. And in 1863, James Plimpton of New York patented the four-wheeled roller skate. Plimpton's rocket skates allowed people to steer just by leaning to the left or right. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the agricultural weather forecast. We're joined by Mark Russo at Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Can you tell me about the weather forecast in Mato Grosso in particular? I saw that about 43% of their soybean crop was said to be in poor to very poor condition. Does that make sense to you?
It certainly does, considering that the long-term pattern has featured below normal totals, and that's true not only over the past 30 days, but really dating back 60 to even 90 days. We did have a delayed start to the rainy season, but overall we did see November come in a little bit closer to normal, then they trended drier again in December. Now as we move into January, we do see better rainfall prospects. In fact, that transition has already occurred over the past week as we've begun to see more widespread thunderstorm activity across areas of Brazil. So with some of the poor ratings that are currently in place, we feel that there will be improvement here upcoming, especially as we begin to go through more of the yield-sensitive stages here coming up as we go through the month of January. Overall, January is shaping up to feature near-normal rainfall totals across not only Mato Grosso, but across all of northern Brazil. So overall, a big change upcoming here versus the pattern of late.
Will it be enough, do you suppose?
We think it will be, especially as we go through some of the yield-sensitive time frames here. Soybean pod development, and in the south you're going through some of the corn pollination here as well. So you're getting out of extreme heat. Again, January and February are climatologically the wettest time frames. That's when your normals peak. And with normal rainfall totals here, you're talking generally most areas this month coming in anywhere from 12 to as much as 16 inches of rainfall. So it's not going to make up the precip deficits per se the longer term, but from an actual standpoint, that's certainly enough to increase soil moisture reserves, help to stabilize and even improve yield potential here with the amount of rain here upcoming.
Now come back to the United States. What's the forecast for our part of the world for the next week?
Well, certainly we're getting out of the record warmth that we saw back in December, and overall the next 2 weeks look to feature quite a bit of a roller coaster ride in temperatures, Todd, here across not only Illinois but across much of the central and eastern U.S. We are going to have, really starting tomorrow, a stretch of about 4 days of warmer than normal temperatures after our kind of seasonal levels here over the past several days, but then that will be followed up by a significant cold shot during the early part of next week. We don't see that as any kind of winter kill threat, but it will result in below normal temperatures for about 4 days before then temperatures moderate again. So quite a bit of temperature contrast here coming up. Some precip, but at least over the next 7 days, it's certainly not as active or wet as what we saw the prior couple of weeks.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.